It's Drew Klein with the WFEA Morning Update on 99.9 and AM 1370 WFEA.
Well, the biggest news in the world right now is what's going on in Israel, and we are turning now to Daniel Pipes, president of the Mideast Forum, to help us understand it. One of the, I think, the world's best, or at least America's foremost expert on Israel and the Middle East. Daniel, welcome.
Thank you, Drew.
Hey, it's so great to have you. So what is, I want to get to your Wall Street Journal column you had over the weekend on Israel's proper reaction to this in a minute, but can you just give folks who are listening who maybe don't understand the dynamic here, just a little bit of the background and what might explain what's going on right now?
Well, Hamas is an organization that came into existence in 1987, and it produced a charter in 1988, which states that its goal is the destruction of the state of Israel. The usual verb used is obliterate. It wants to obliterate Israel. In 2007, it managed to take control of the Gaza territory. That is a small territory, about the size of Omaha, Nebraska, between Egypt and Israel. And for the last 16 years, it has been attacking Israel in lesser ways, not insignificant ways, but rockets, kites with incendiary devices attached, and the like. The Israelis obviously loathed and feared this organization, but the security establishment came to the conclusion that it's better off with the devil it knows than the devil it doesn't know, and was willing to work with Hamas and even provide money to Hamas, despite the fact that Hamas had these goals of destroying Israel and indeed was attacking Israel every so often. The security establishment argued, the military, the intelligence services, the police, argued that this is better than not having Hamas there. Well, that view ended on Saturday when Hamas put together a surprise attack and murdered in cold blood hundreds and hundreds of civilians, catching the security establishment unaware, completely unaware. And it's still marauding, and it took hostages. And now the question is, what will the Israeli response be? Going back to the way it was, or doing something more drastic about the threat that Hamas poses?
And how does Hamas get funded? I mean, it governs the Gaza Strip right now, which in itself is just, I think, remarkable development. But where do they get the money? Who supports them?
It gets its money in part from Iran, the Islamic Republic of Iran, which is Islamist. The key point I maybe didn't mention is that this is an Islamist organization. It wants to apply medieval Islamic laws to the modern world, like the Iranians have done and Hamas has done. It suppressed its own population in Gaza. And partly from Qatar, the fabulously rich, tiny state of Qatar. And what is so surprising is that the Israelis allow and even encourage the money coming from, or have, not in the past, no longer, the money from Qatar. Again, seeing Hamas as better than the alternative, as chaos, perhaps an even more radical group. For whatever reasons, the Israelis decided that that was okay.
Yeah, and just to, so you have mentioned this before in some of your writings, again, just so people kind of understand the lay of the land here, how does Hamas govern the Gaza Strip? Like, what is it like to live there?
Well, if people know anything about Iran, it's similar to that. It's a dictatorship. The people, they got there through violence, and they are determined to apply these Islamic laws, whether it be on women or sexual minorities or religious minorities. They require food, alcohol regulations be put in place. They as is always the case with dictators, the leadership lives very well at the expense of a suffering and impoverished population. It's the usual story.
It is the usual story, which is really kind of crazy. But what happened over the weekend is not usual. Can you sort of give us your sense of why Hamas did this on Saturday? You know, why that date and what's their goal?
Well, we don't exactly know. Their only stated reason is that Israeli Jews were visiting the Temple Mount, the Holy Esplanade in Jerusalem, and they're protecting Jerusalem. So that's their formal stated reason for going to war. One can speculate about lots of things. The Wall Street Journal had a exclusive saying that the Iranians had told them on Monday to go to war on Saturday. Maybe. Everyone notes that this is 50 years and one day later than a surprise attack that took place by the Egyptian and Syrian armies in 1973. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's a factor. There could have been internal developments. There could have been a sense that Israel is weakened because of the ongoing internal debate, really quite ferocious debate within Israel, over judicial reform, over the nature of the Supreme Court, and things like that. It could be something entirely different. Who knows? We don't know.
Sure. And so you have recommended that Israel can't play around with Hamas anymore, can't tolerate Hamas, and needs to, if I correct me if I get this wrong, but just destroy Hamas as an organization. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Well, for some 25 years, I've been advocating what I call Israel victory. The Israeli security establishment approaches both Hamas and its equivalent in the West Bank, the Palestinian Authority, as problems to be managed. You take a certain number of casualties, you accept the venom and the lies that they say, you deal with it, you work with it. This is a permanent presence. Yeah, you might compare it to the United States and Soviet Union. You know, we contained the Soviet Union. We didn't try and end the Soviet Union. Or perhaps now with China. When we're trying to get rid of the Chinese Communist Party, we're just dealing with it. And that's the way in which the Israelis dealt with Hamas and the Palestinian Authority. And I've been advocating Israel victory. I've been advocating that Israel wins. It doesn't manage. It wins. I point to the fact that wars end when one side wins. Or to put it more exactly, when one side feels defeated, then the other side wins. So there has to be a sense of defeat. And if you go through history, you see over and over again that wars continue when nobody feels defeated. And they end when one side feels defeated. Might point to the Civil War in the United States. Might point to World War II. Might point to the Vietnam War, where we lost. Right? Nobody since 1975 has said, well, you know, on second thought, let's go back to Vietnam. It's over. We lost.
Yeah.
We didn't lose because we were the weaker party, far, far stronger than North Vietnam. We didn't, you know, we didn't expend our last dollar, our last soldier, our last bullet, but we lost the will to go on. So it's not necessarily, you know, a military defeat. What we saw in Vietnam, for example, was a defeat of will.
Sure.
And I'm advocating that the U.S. government urge the Israeli government to win, and that would mean to cause the Palestinians, whether in the West Bank, Gaza, or elsewhere, to come to the conclusion that this is over, that Israel's there, it's tough, it's strong, it's permanent, and they need to live with it and perhaps prosper in alliance with it.
Imagine that. You can. There could be peace and shared prosperity there if you defeat people like
but
Hamas.
That's not happened because the Palestinians, over the course of the past century, and even more, have developed an ideology that I call rejectionism.
Yeah.
No, no, no. No to Israel, no to Jews, no to Zionism, no to Judaism, no to everything. And violent rejection. And even though they have far less power, they continue with this. And so the essence of victory lies in convincing the Palestinians that rejectionism is futile. It leaves them in a very bad state. And time to move on. And I believe there are quite a few Palestinians who've come to this conclusion, maybe 20% or so.
Yeah. Well, Daniel Pipes, president of the Middle East Forum, we're running short of time here. But hey, listen, thank you. Thank you so much for that. That was really helpful, I think, in helping people understand and see what the task at hand is for Israel right now. So we appreciate your time, and we may be having you back on the show as things unfold going forward. Daniel Pipes is president of the Middle East Forum, one of the most clear-eyed experts on the Middle East that I have ever encountered. His stuff is good. You can find it out there on the interwebs. And we'll be back in a moment on 99.9 and AM 1370 WFEA.